Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Again, the words for our sermon text today are the words from our reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3. Paul writes there, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught by us, either our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one, and we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." So far, our sermon text. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us, set us apart from this sinful, dying world, that we may be with you forever. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, have you ever gone out at night and looked up at the sky? I love doing that. I'm always fascinated by what's up there, far above the city lights and the hubbub of our everyday life. Have you seen the Milky Way and the Big Dipper and Orion? Scientists tell us that those stars are very, very far away. And there are more than any of us could ever count. But God is bigger than all of that. Who can comprehend him? He's far bigger and greater than all the stars and all the galaxies, all that we can see in the night sky. He's older than all of them. He has always been there, from eternity to eternity. And though many stars have passed away in the night sky since God created them, God has never changed. He has always remained and always will remain just who he is, unchanging. Since before the creation of the world, God has desired to show love to mankind. Think about that. It's mind-blowing. Before he even created us, he desired to show us love. He knew that Adam and Eve would choose to sin. He knew that. That was never his desire for them. But he knew that they would do it. And even though he made them good and pure, he also gave them the opportunity to show their gratitude to him by their obedience. But in return, they disobeyed. God knew that would happen. And it saddened him. God himself says he would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So even while that sin of Adam and Eve was multiplied through the whole human race, right to today, even though mankind separated itself from God, even though so often we go astray and follow after our own heart's desires and not after what the Lord has told us, God has not, nor will he ever, cease to love. He showed mercy. He showed his grace, his undeserved love for us. And he has been doing that from eternity, and he will continue to do that into eternity. When all appeared lost to mankind, when eternal death had firmly and fully grasped our race, when all hope of fulfilling the perfectly righteous demands of obedience to God and love to neighbor, when all of that had been dashed by the reality of sin, then God set into motion his plan of grace, which has been from eternity to eternity. His plan of salvation revealed to us by God's eternal Spirit. We are saved from eternal death, not by our own deeds, for by the deeds of the law, none of us will be righteous before God. But we are counted righteous before God because of what his Spirit has been doing in us through the Word of God. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. It's the Spirit's work that has moved us over from eternal death to eternal life. How could it be otherwise? Your sins and my sins are eternal strikes against us, every one of them a dark stain on the goodness of the human race, every one of them creating an impassable gulf between us and our Heavenly Father, the holy and righteous God. How could our efforts ever reverse that? They cannot. Our efforts are finite. And the enormity of our sin is infinite. And the number of our sins is beyond our counting most of the time. Who among us can say that every moment is spent to the glory of God and for the good of our neighbor? Who among us has confessed the truth in every situation to everyone we have met? We cannot. We dare not think that we will earn God's favor by doing these things. We fail so often. He knows our hearts. He knows what's going on inside us. He sees everything. We must despair of fixing ourselves. But we must rejoice as well. We rejoice like Paul did for the Thessalonians. We rejoice because we are convinced that God, in his infinite grace and mercy, in his great love for us, we are convinced that he took pity on us in our sinful condition, and that he did something about it, something that only he could do. He set in motion this plan that we see playing out through all of history. He set in motion from that moment before time began his plan to bring about an everlasting righteousness for us, a righteousness that's from God and apart from deeds. We rejoice because the Holy Spirit has changed us with the truth. He has reached down from heaven into our hearts with God's word. God's word is the truth. And he has given faith to believe that God means what he says. That God has sent a Savior for us. The world all around us is caught up in superstition and spiritual nonsense. But God the Spirit reached down into this world of ours in that eternal plan of his, wrought before the foundations of the world were even laid. He reached down and sent forth that Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might be redeemed from that impossibly perfect justice of the law. That's why the Lord says that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is by grace that you have been saved. And this not of yourself. It's the gift of God. None of us can boast. You've heard this good word of the Lord. You have heard him speak these truths again and again, and you believe it by the working of the Holy Spirit. You believe that God means what he says. That's why Paul says he called you, the Thessalonians, to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has reached down to us with that same gospel message and preached that same steadfast love of God into our hearts. We're saved through that word. We're saved by faith. It is God's message of salvation for everyone who believes it. It's his eternal word that's our hope. That's why he says, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Paul's encouraging us. Today, 2,000 years later, he's encouraging us with the same truth that he encouraged those Thessalonians with. And he encourages us to hold on to that truth and not let go of it, not let it pass away through falsehoods or disuse. It's the means that God has chosen to give us his encouragement and faith, to give us our true hope, to encourage us and protect us with strength from the evil one. It is our strength against the evil that is afoot in this world, even against the evil that still lurks within our own hearts. And we know it's there. Just before the passages in our sermon text, Paul spoke to the Thessalonians about the man of lawlessness, the one who would oppose Christ as Satan's champion, the Antichrist. He named some of the characteristics of this man of lawlessness. Chief among them would be this man's treatment of God's grace. This Antichrist will be the one who deceives many into believing that God's grace must come through him and not through the Word of God. This Antichrist will set himself up in the very church of God, and he will have the audacity to withhold God's grace from the people. And he will endure until the end of the age, working his brand of deceit all the while. Don't you believe that? Don't fall for that. God's grace is completely free. Now, that doesn't mean it was cheap. It cost God his own Son on the cross. But it's freely and fully given. It's yours. No one can take it away from you. It has been preached to you, and you have heard that gospel message. You have heard that your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ and him crucified. You have heard that you have eternal life with God in heaven because Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. These things are yours. They belong to you. They are God's gift to you. You can reject it, that's true. May it never be so. But hold on to the truth. It will set you free even as it itself is free. Believe. Believe you and your household, as Paul said to the jailer at Philippi. Believe you and your household and you shall be saved. But Paul also goes on to give us the other reason to have the gospel message ready and at hand. The truth is not just for us. Truth is for all these other people out here too, for the whole world. Paul prays that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. We are saved and we belong in heaven right now, but God leaves us here in this place, struggling with our own sins, dealing with all these dangers, but protected by him. He leaves us here that we might speak that precious gospel into the ears of other people so that they might hear and believe and be saved. Today we're celebrating Saints Triumphant Day. It's a day when we remember those of the past who persevered in the faith and who have gone home to heaven to be with God. And today we remember that our place is there with them. And we also remember not yet. We remember that the reason that we have the gospel ringing in our ears and in our hearts is because they spoke the word of truth to us. We're still here for a reason, and that reason is the same as it was for them. We speak the word of truth, the word that saves, the word that gives faith, the word that brings the Spirit with it into people's hearts. Paul wrote, "We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance." We have so much to learn, but more importantly, we have something to share. Something to share with other people. We've been given the gift of eternity. We've been given the eternal Spirit working through that eternal word to bring us eternal life. What could the answer be except that we are saved to invite other people into that eternal life that we have? That is the command of the apostles. We are to tell the good news to everyone. And this isn't some burdensome dictate of the law, but the privilege that's afforded to us through the gospel. The privilege to work with God Himself, to break the spiritual chains of sin for other people, to set them free, to open the gates of heaven with the keys that He has given to His church. We can and we want to do this without repayment, because the Spirit is working a heart and mind in us that is in the image of God's own Son. We want to serve as He served. We want to share as He shared. We want to love as He loved. We want to make sacrifices for others, even as He sacrificed Himself for us. Christians, what could be a more fitting day on which to consider those who have preceded us in faith into heaven? It's because of God working through them that we are able to have this sermon preached here in this place in the middle of the desert today. It's because of them that we get to hear God's word. He's been so impossibly, eternally, infinitely good to us. Let us hold to that word of His that shines in the darkness like a star in the night sky. Let us share that light, the word, with others. There are enough stars to go around, and yet there is even more of God's grace. May we share it freely. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds unto heaven.